Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
Are you serious?
Hello, this is How to Kill an Hour. My name's Marcus Bronzy.
What's going on? I'm Nick Bright.
Yeah, plenty of ways to kill some time out there. And this is an episode where we talk about how we've been killing time with some tech. You get me?
You've always got some interesting stories.
Yeah, man. Listen, as things ease down, Nick, I can't wait to share more experiences and tech with you and stuff like that. We've got so much stuff piled up in the office that we want to get through. So, Nick, as soon as it's safe to you, bruv, you're popping by, you're collecting, and we can talk about this tech. All right?
Live and direct in the person.
Oh, live and direct. Well, it's something that we spoke about off air. It's exciting and it's happening here. And I think that'll be the next time I see you in person when that's done, innit? That exciting thing that I'm alluding to and not sharing with you, the listener.
Why? Why are you not sharing it?
Because it's just how you build up, you know, tension and throw forward. And also, if it doesn't happen, like, because we've been trying to make this happen for a while now, but we haven't because of society closing and opening and closing and opening. I don't want to promise something that I can't deliver. I don't want to let them down, Nick.
Okay, you want to be like the milkman. Man always wants to deliver out here, you get me?
Before he's going to say pegging everyone's missus. But but yeah, so this is the episode where we talk about tech that we reviewed. So we got our hands on this FPV drone from DJI. It's the FPV DJI, that's literally what it's called. Now, FPV drones are like, I don't know what your experience is with them, Nick. Like, do you know what the difference is between like an FPV drone and a regular drone?
I'm going to be completely honest with you. Yeah. Bronzy, I have never flown or used a drone despite being semi-fascinated by them. Like, I think they're, like, super cool, the way that they can just hover and, like, you could, like, the tech has got better and better in terms of, like, how you can control them, the cameras that you can... That you find on drones now, like some of them are mad. Like it does make me think, actually, and I'm sure you're going to tell me about the FPV drone, but It does make me think, like, you know, because I'm a big Formula One fan, like, and the weekend just gone, the Azerbaijan Grand Prix happened, and at a lot of Formula One races they still have helicopters with cameras on to kind of like film the cars going around corners and stuff like that. And I'm like, surely that must be costing hundreds of thousands to like fly a helicopter around a course for like 4 hours or whatever in fuel so that you can get those shots. And I'm like, can't you just do this on a drone now?
Yeah, yeah. And I think you're right. I think the only thing that's stopping drones from doing that now is the battery life. Like, you can get a chopper up for a few hours, isn't it? There's not many drones you can have up doing, putting in work like that chopper does.
Even if you had four drones, like to cover that's still going to cost less than renting a chopper and fueling a chopper, surely.
I'm 100% with you. I think money isn't really a problem for F1, yeah?
Yeah, let's be real.
Two, I think, that's a really good question, actually, Nick. I think you'd have to land the drone that the battery had run out of and then pick up another drone at the same time. Or get one to fly in the air. So, for example, you get like 20 minutes on a drone at the moment on a good day. That's three drones an hour. So then that's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 12 drones. The likelihood that one of them is just not going to go up or might have a half-charged battery or something is a problem. Whereas if you get one helicopter up, or two helicopters, should we say, one up, and you get it fully filled, full of gas, you've got a cameraman on there who's got a nice big, massive, strong connection to whoever's on the live camera feed. I think at the moment, drones are still not going to be 100% viable. However, when I was at Goodwood last year, I did see drones being used to track some of the cars around. But it wasn't F1. It wasn't something being broadcast on TV. It was being broadcast like locally on that day. So if a drone crashes,
it's the same
cool.
as like, I think in a lot of snow sports now, downhill skiing, snowboarding, you know, that kind of vibe, they're definitely using drones for the coverage, which is pretty cool. Because, you know, in a lot of those sports before, unless it was a big meeting, you know, maybe an Olympics or whatever, even then, like, the complexities of flying a helicopter, you know, in a mountain range,
it's
difficult. Whereas with a drone, just, you know, send that shit up in the air and Bob's your uncle.
It is, mate. And I like the level of dronage that we're getting on a kind of consumer level has just, I mean, the things you can do, even in the like history of this show, we've gone from like drones that are like, oh yeah, it can do like 1080p. Now you got drones that are doing like freaking, 4K, 60 frames a second. So you can get slow-mo off your drone. You've got drones that can stay up. Before, I swear it was like 10 minutes or 12 minutes. Now you're getting like a real life 20 minutes off a drone sometimes. So like you can just get so much more about them. And to be honest, DJI have been at the forefront of dronage for consumers. And I think with point of view drones, one of the big features is that you can wear a headset. And then you can see what your drone is seeing as you move around. And a lot of the time, previously, people have had to build them themselves, Nick. So you'd have to build your own kit, make sure it's balanced as well, because you're pretty much building a miniature helicopter or a quadcopter, and then fly it. And then likelihood when you're POV flying, you might crash it as well. So when it crashes, you've got to fix it too. So DJI was like, that's fun, but how about we get you one that works out of the box? And for someone like me, who is good with his hands when it comes to technical stuff, but is not an engineer by any means. Yeah. I'm not a physicist. I don't know how like things work when it comes to like, you know, making something fly. Yeah. I'm like, yes, this is all for me. So that was kind of the big interest for me, is what is it like flying something like this out of the box? And yeah, Nick, I've got to say, bruv, for someone, because you haven't flown a drone, there's something I'm going to talk to you about this that might make you a better drone pilot than me with this new tool that they got. But first things first, I flew it around normally with it connected. So that's where you connect it to a phone and connect it to like the controller. And it was all right to fly around. It's nippy, bruv. It does naught to 100 in, oh my God, I've got to find the speed of it, mate. Excuse me, but I want to make sure I get zero to 100 kilometers an hour in 2 seconds.
Bro. 2 seconds.
Bro. Bro,
wow.
It's mad. So yeah, so that, I mean, look, that's in its like M mode. It's like super manual mode. I was flying it mostly in kind of just, you know, regular normal kind of flying at like 30 miles an hour at the fastest. So anyway, what makes it different, Nick, is you can wear a headset, obviously, so you can see what's coming out of the drone, but they've also got this revolutionary new controller. Right, which is this one-handed controller, this remote that you hold. And imagine like you're holding you're a fighter pilot and you're holding the control stick, right? You move your hand forward or tilt your hand forward and the drone would move forward. You tilt your hand back, it would go back. You tilt left or right. That's how it moves around.
It's a little bit like the Joy-Cons on a Nintendo Switch.
100%. 100% that. So you can fly it with one hand, bruv. And I can't lie, flying FPVs is some of the most complex flying I've ever had to do when I'm using the conventional drone stuff. When I picked up that controller, I did so much more with that drone than I could with... I was well more... had a higher aptitude of flying immediately than I did with regular drone flying. So someone like yourself, I would love to slap the FPV headset on you, put the thing in your hand and say, right, Nick, go. But I wouldn't do that straight away, though, because you'd probably crash it. And it is a big, expensive drone. So what they do have is they have their own app, which you connect to your headset. And it's a virtual flight app. So you can practice flying around loads of places beforehand. It's pretty cool, isn't it?
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices
down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Yeah, I mean, it's... I feel like it... for me, this is the way it should be done.
What, like training first? Yeah.
Yeah. Like, because we've seen... I mean, I don't know about you. I've seen, like, some funny compilation videos on YouTube and stuff like that of people who... I don't know, like they get a super expensive drone out of the box, they put it all together, you know, build it all, and then within seconds, it's on the floor, destroyed, smashed. I mean, I quite enjoy the videos, I'm not going to lie, but like, yeah, training first is probably advisable.
Yeah, that is me, bruv. I can say it now, because it's been a little while. DJI did send me a prototype drone once, and it did end up in a tree, should we say, but it was all right. But yeah, it's inevitable, isn't it, that it's going to crash even once you have had the training, Nick. So what's good as well is they do have the refresh program from DJI, where you basically get yourself a whole extra drone, you can send it in for repair. And I'd say if you are getting a drone, definitely purchase that, because it's yeah, man, I'll be honest, bruv, they're not things that you're not likely to crash. I feel like if you have got a drone, even if you are super safe, sometimes something happens, man, a little gust of wind, a bird might fly into it. You never know, bruv.
It kind of depends what you're doing, yeah, though, doesn't it? Depends what you're doing with the drone. If you're literally just putting it up in a field, like, yes, I know what you're saying, a bird could come into it. You can't that can happen anywhere. But if you're putting up in a field with no trees and nothing else around, and you just want to get some like overhead shots of you or whatever,
yeah,
then like I feel like that's pretty cool. But then you get some people who want to, like, even though you're not meant to, you know, race drones in, you know, down the streets and stuff like that, and it's like, well, you can kind of see why they end up,
yeah,
you know, crashing them.
It's very tempting to like to go fast with it. This thing can go 100 kilometers an hour. I was just like, whoa. But yeah, man, but it's a fun experience, and you got really cool footage of it, and we actually got a video of it. We'll put a link to it in the show description, where I'm flying the drone around, and we fly it around a car, actually. We fly it around a Toyota Yaris JBL edition, which is it's a monster of a vehicle, bro. So it's a Toyota Aygo, sorry.
Yeah, Aygo.
Aygo, that's it. Yeah, the Toyota Aygo, the JBL edition. So yeah, the Aygo, right, it's a cool little city car, but they've given it an upgrade because audio specialist JBL have stepped in and loaded it up with a big old sound system. You get up a total of 600 watts in this tiny little car, which is a lot. So we basically drove that up there for the day. Enjoyed its 160mm subwoofer. I was playing some like old school Cameron and Diplomats music through it, so they were getting a good workout. But it was a nice little car to drive in. And I will say this, for a small vehicle, it's got quite a bit of tech in it. It's got pre-collision system, it's got lane departure, it's got cruise control, it's got automatic high beam that moves out of the way if it sees other people. The cruise control is adaptive as well, so if people slow down in front of you by a few miles, it slows down as well. Why didn't we have these things in our first cars, Nick?
Mate, my first car, Peugeot 106 XSI.
Wait, that was all right, you know.
Yeah.
XSI.
That made all the difference. 1.4. It was black, but it was manual, no power steering.
Yeah.
It had electric windows, but the fuse kept blowing. So like when the fuse kept blowing, I couldn't even open the windows. Obviously zero aircon. Like when it was hot, you put the thing on the coolest setting, but it just used to fan warm air at you. Yeah. It's like these kids now, man, because of finance deals and stuff like that as well, everybody's got a nice car now, isn't it?
Yeah,
like
100%.
Nobody has an old banger anymore.
100%. My first car was like a red Ford Fiesta, manual windows, yeah, no aircon. I don't even think it had a radio when I first had it. The radio had been ripped out, so I had to put a whole new radio into it.
Mine had a tape deck, and then obviously I put a CD player in it. But like, even that, you know, now it's all, you know, like connect via Bluetooth and you're just playing tunes off your phone and that, you know?
Yeah, that's exactly what this was that, yeah. But I did I mean look, we're a little bit older, we just got to take it how it was. We didn't have cars like this back in the day, but I will say this though, if I could have a first car, I would flex this JBL version of the Aygo. I think it was just, bro, it was small, it was rude. All right, I'm a bit older now, so yeah. But, you know, if I wanted a little practical vehicle, this might be the one for me. This might not be my, like, big, long drive up to Scotland kind of vehicle. But, yeah, for a little nipper around town, it's all right, you know. Only a little 1 litre engine. I can't believe you had a 1.4.
Yeah, it's my first car, 1.4. The insurance was, like, double what the car cost me.
My first experience of insurance is the first few companies I called for insurance just said, we will not insure you. I just like, no thanks. But yeah, so that was the Toyota Aygo JBL edition, man. Look, in short, a fun car to drive around. It's black and orange, which looks kind of rude. And I thought, right, am I just thinking this is cool because maybe I'm a little bit older and I don't care as much? But I went to a Burger King drive-thru to pick up a little snack. And the obviously kid went, hey, brev. The kid in there, hey, what car is that you've got? I said, yes, it's the JBL Aygo. He's like, that's all right, you know. Looks kind of cool. Yeah. I thought, all right, cool. Kids
you're
are feeling
too old
the vibe.
To be driving one of them, though, bruv. That's the issue, you know. What I mean,
what'd you
all
say?
The kids are looking at you. I said, you're too old to be driving one of them, mate.
Yeah, a little
all
bit.
The kids are looking at you like, who's this uncle in the ends driving a JBL Aygo?
Yeah,
what's
playing this
on?
old school Cameron. Oh boy, 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 boy.
Man's playing one drop reggae. You know what I mean? In the ends, it's like, who's this guy? You know.
Come and get your uncle and take him home. But yeah, so that was one of the things that we killed some time with. Another vehicle that we got our hands on was the Mercedes GLA, which is, I'd say it's probably one of the most popular vehicles. And I think the GLA range really brought some love back to Mercedes in the kind of mid-class range for the vehicle. And the best way of me describing the GLA is it's kind of like an A-class, but on stilts. It's kind of this whole higher micro mini SUV crossover vibe that is popular, and people keep asking why are these cars so popular. I'll tell you one of the reasons why these cars are popular. Nobody likes speed bumps and potholes, and there's a lot of those in the UK at the moment. So if you have a car like this, it makes it a little bit less bumpy when you drive, because if you've got a nice sexy lowered sports car and you try and drive it around anything that isn't Regent's Park in London, you're gonna get scrapes and bumps. See him all the time.
I mean, I can vouch for that, definitely, because I used to have an A-Class.
Yeah.
And, I had an A200 AMG line. So not the bloody A35 or 45, the actual AMG car. It's the one that was styled to look like it. But anyway, it's like whenever I used to go over speed bumps, if you went over them too fast, and I'm not even talking speed in here. Say if you're in a 20-mile-an-hour zone, say if you go over the speed bump, if it's a big speed bump at like 15 mile an hour, when you come off of the speed bump or when you go over the other side, the front of the car will always scrape. And I hated that shit. It would like go through me, you know when like you feel it almost like it's happening to your own body.
Yeah.
Like that's what it was like, and it used to happen all the time. And an A-class, if we're being real, is not even like a lowered, it's not even like a sports car, you know what I mean?
I think honestly, I don't want to sound like I'm just moaning and putting the words right, but roads are not as good as they used to be. Like, I think speed bumps are really common, and I think they're getting more aggressive with the speed bumperage. I feel like they're higher and stuff, which is, look, It's not my place to say whether they do it or not. I just, all I can comment on is how the car feels when it bounces over him. So yeah, I totally get it, mate. So that is probably a reason why these like SUV crossovers is getting more and more popular. But I don't want to make too much noise about that being a convenience, because they're just going to make speed bumps bigger then. Oh yeah, you got an SUV? All right, get over this mountain then. Here you go.
Yeah, yeah.
But so yeah, the GLA is kind of popular, and it is a vehicle that has, I don't think when they first released the GLA a few years back, they didn't think it was going to be as popular as it was, because it's kind of got all the best bits that you get out of a smaller vehicle, like a class like you had. And then you also get kind of like a few more features that they pop in. And I think if you get one that's kind of higher or mid-range, you start getting more of the Mercedes technology in there. So media-wise, in the current version, they've done really well. They've got this thing called MBUX. Is it called MBUX or is it MBUX?
MBUX.
Mercedes-Benz User Experience Infotainment System, which you've had your experience with that as well, haven't you, Nick?
Yeah. It's really good. Like, I feel like it's hard to tell, because obviously I've not tried out every single entertainment system for every single car brand out there, but I feel like it's definitely one of the market leaders, 100%. Mm. Like, just in terms of exactly what you said, the user experience is unreal. You know, you get in the car and it's almost like, I'm not going to say they've thought of everything, because there's always things that you can improve on and do better, but they have thought of a hell of a lot with this.
Yeah, man. I feel like, for starters, the regular menu interaction when you're just pressing buttons, I feel like they've placed the menu in, they've placed the parts of the menu in a way that's, it's, I feel like you're a couple of touches away from everything.
Yeah.
Whether it's the internal LEDs, which there is a heck of a lot of in Mercedes nowadays, whether it's the seat settings, the way that the car drives, you feel like you're a couple of clicks away. And with the new MBUX system, you actually can use a touchscreen panel in the middle, right? So you can just touchscreen your way through everything, so you don't have to use a click. Sometimes you have to use like on certain other cars, like you'd have to twist something, or you'd have to use like a fake mouse pad. But here you can just touch, like on an iPhone, what you want to open up and what you want to get in and what settings you want to move. And there's also the Linguatronic voice control, isn't it, Nick?
The voice control's a bit mad, because it's like, to be honest with you, I feel like voice control is obviously only as good as the options it can give you, or the answers it can give you. Certain ones, again, I have not tried them all, but like Google Home and Alexa, they seem to be like the leaders, because you've got obviously Siri for iPhone and stuff like that, but like it doesn't do enough for me, you know? Like, and it's a little bit like that with the voice control through MBUX. It can do certain things, but I'm like, if you wanted to make this truly sick, it should have been able to do everything other than drive the car, you know, because legally. Yeah. And it all comes down to legal stuff as well, because I was looking into this. Like, for example, you can say to it, hey, Mercedes, open my sunroof roller blind. And it will open the roller blind, but you can't get it to open the actual sunroof. And you can't get it to open the actual door windows. Because legally, I think there's a legal reason why they can't do that. Because, you know, maybe kids then, if they're in the car, they could like do it and open the windows and I don't know. Like, but yeah, and that for me was a little bit disappointing, because I'm like, I can open the roller blind with one touch. I know I can open the window with one touch as well. I'm being a little bit petty, but it's like, it's just a little bit more of a wow factor, in my opinion, if you said, hey, Mercedes, open my window, and it just went,
do you know
what I mean? Like, but you can do all the usual stuff, you know, like what's the weather like in this place? Take me to this place. What's the time in Hong Kong? You know, all of that stuff. And it can do all of that, which is pretty cool. It can change radio station. You can say to it, hey, Mercedes, I'm hot, and it will turn your aircon on. Or you can do the reverse. You say, hey, Mercedes, I'm cold, and it will turn your heating on. You can set it to specific temperatures as well. You can get it to change the colour of the LEDs in the car, put your heated seats on, you know, all of that stuff. So look, I'm not going to say it's rubbish. You know, it can do quite a lot. But I think once you get over the initial kind of like, wow, this is kind of like a bit of a gimmick stage, it's like, oh, well, actually, it's just quicker and easier for me to just do it the old way.
Yeah, the old school way.
Like, yeah, and just like, you know, open the roller blind myself or change the radio station myself or whatever, you know.
Yeah, sounds like what you're ready for is, hey, Mercedes, drive me home.
Yeah.
That's what you want, innit? That's the big wow factor.
although yes, but I know that when that does become a bit of a reality, I'm definitely going to be one of those people like Will Smith in iRobot that don't trust it.
Mate, he's that, like, listen, oi, like, some of the stuff I see in that film, I'm like, yeah, we were a couple of ring cameras and internal house cameras away from that happening if the right person hacks you up. But you know what, actually, one thing we forgot about the MBUX is the seat kinetics as well. If you ask it to, you get a little bum massage and back massage by moving your seat around.
Yeah, but it's weird. Like, I would rather it be, again, I would rather it be a proper massage. You know, like when you used to go to the airport, remember those? And they've got those, like, massage seats. Yeah. And like, but I guess they've got to be careful, haven't they? Because if they put a full-blown massage seat in a car, you might fall asleep.
Yeah, hey Mercedes, so, like, happy ending.
Yeah, and that. But but like with the seat kinetics, it's a bit weird. It's basically like the seat just like moves a little bit. Like the bit that's supporting your legs will just like out of nowhere just like lower. And then, you know, the back support will go back a tiny bit or whatever. But it's not really doing anything, you know?
I think it's meant to keep you on your toes, ain't it? Like, keep you, hey, whoo, stop you, like, getting complacent and drifting. Hey, wake up, hey. No?
Bit, maybe, but, you know, I'm just like, bit of a gimmick, you know? It's okay, but, you know, I'm not blown away by it.
Yeah. I mean, I think what Mercedes have done with their recent vehicles is they have succeeded in making the cockpit of their car a very shiny experience with lots of LEDs when you're driving around, especially at night. You know, the fact that your inside of your car is illuminated in this purple glow, they look cool. It's in right now in 2021. Yeah, in this episode, I have to say the interior of Mercedes, generally for most people, their interior game's on point. Like, I can't lie. So yeah, I mean, let's see how it continues in the future with the rest of their vehicles. You know what I mean?
Yeah. I mean, I think the general rule of thumb with Mercedes, what people say anyway, is look at what tech's in the S-Class.
Yeah.
Because whatever tech they're putting in the S-Class, that kind of, because obviously the S-Class is their premium class, isn't it? That kind of filters its way down to the others. I walked past an S-Class the other day in, where was I? I was like Shoreditch or somewhere like that. And it was like not a courier, what are they called, like a chauffeur type person. He was outside a building waiting for, you know, whoever to get in the car. And I noticed that the S-Class on the screens in the dash, he was watching BBC News. So that, like, the S-Class has obviously got capability of being able to watch TV, which I found quite surprising. That there must be a safety thing with that you can only do it when either the engine's off or the car's in park or whatever, because I'm pretty certain that you can't have the TV on and be driving, because that's a recipe for disaster, isn't it?
He
was definitely watching BBC News on the screen in the front of the car, and I thought, oh, that's interesting, because, you know, I did think the first time I tried out MBUX, I did think to myself, like, it's a shame that you can't watch things on these screens, you know.
Yeah, 100%, man. Yeah, I think that is a feature. And yeah, with any visual feature in a car, they have this setting. I think it's when the handbrake's off, that you can't watch the TV, the screen.
Right.
Yeah, it might even be now when the ignition's running. But yeah, that makes sense, doesn't it, really, for safety? You don't want a man trying to watch Fast and the Furious while he's driving down the flipping high road.
Certain people would be on Pornhub, you know what I mean, driving down the M1.
Why do I feel attacked? Why do I feel attacked driving down the M69?
Ba-dun! If you know, you know. <Ba-dun>.
On that note, I think it's time to switch off. Wrap this episode up of How to Kill an Hour. Don't forget, if you want to hear more content from our kind of timeless tech stories, we do have a Patreon where you can get ad-free episodes and a bonus Patreon-only episode. Right. Where can we find you on social media, Nick?
Nick Bright on Instagram. Holler at me.
Nice. I'm at Marcus Bronzy on social media, and at How to Kill an Hour is where you can find everything about the show. Till next time, thank you for killing some time with us. Bless.
Love.
Hold up. Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hey, folks, I'm Mark Maron from the WTF Podcast, and this episode is brought to you by Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues, your ally to help tackle your allergy symptoms this season. I love the change of seasons, but nobody loves pollen and all those other things floating in the air that make you sneeze during this nice weather. Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues are hypoallergenic and allergist approved. So fight back against watery eyes and runny noses without worrying about irritating your skin. For this allergy season, grab Kleenex and face allergies head on.